Coming to you now is Lahem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello, and welcome again to Lahem Panim. Thank you for tuning in to us today. I hope that your year is off to a really good start, and I'm looking forward to continuing our study with you through the book of Acts. You know, today's passage, I think, is a very important one, because it marks the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey. He has this interlude with the Jerusalem Council, which we talked about last week, but now Paul is so eager to get back to the work of ministry, which had been interrupted by this whole debate he had at Jerusalem with the legalists. Now, this wasn't because Paul was bored with ministry in Antioch. I think there are many things that pastors are. Bored is very rarely one of them. Because in full-time ministry, I mean, there's always something to do. And helping to pastor that church in Antioch where, think about it, there were so many new believers. I mean, it must have been such an incredible challenge. But you know, something happens when you truly encounter Jesus. When you allow his mindset to shape yours. And that's that you begin to think eternally. And that's a very good thing. But you know, with that also comes a very heavy burden, because you'll no longer be able to ignore the needy or the lost. You will, like God does, you will feel the weight of eternity on your shoulders every single day as you become awakened to the spiritual conditions of people. You know, this past summer, which if you lived around here, you'll know was unbelievably hot, I read of a man who drove all the way to Arizona during the heat wave in order to buy air conditioners for his friends and neighbors back home, which he brought back and gave to them. I mean, such a generous thought. But it was apparently a big enough story to make the news. And this man no doubt did it because he knew the dangers of the coming heat. Well, I think how much more ought we as Christians who, seeing the heat wave of Judgment Day coming, how much more should we help people to prepare for that? You see, with an eternal mindset comes what Paul calls in 2 Corinthians 4:17, the weight of glory. Recognizing that every person we meet is going to live forever in one of two places. And God has called you and me to share his burden in helping to lead people into the life that is found only in Jesus Christ. Well, Paul, he's one of those who always felt and lived under that weight of glory, which is why when we look at the broad spectrum of his life, we see that he was never content to remain in one place for very long. No, he was always on the move. Anywhere he went was a step to somewhere else. Even Rome, which you think about, I mean, a place that was amazing. He would have probably, you'd think, be content to remain there. I mean, it's the capital of the greatest empire of the world, and therefore probably the best place to remain, at least from a strategic point of view. But that was not his ultimate destination. He longed to visit there, which we read about in Romans 15, but even in his letter to the Romans, he writes, "Whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you. When I have first enjoyed your company for a while, I will go on by way of you to Spain." Now, the reason he was always on the move was because of how keenly aware Paul was that there were always other people in other places who had not yet been told about the way of salvation. And so he always felt compelled to reach those people. Listen to his own words in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He says, "I am under compulsion, for woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." You know, Paul's passionate concern for those without Jesus Christ kind of found an echo in the heart of Hudson Taylor, the 19th century English missionary to China. Taylor writes, "I have a stronger desire than ever to go to China, That land is ever in my thoughts. He says, think about it. 360 million souls, more now, but 360 million then, without God or hope in the world. Think of more than 12 millions of our fellow creatures dying every year without any of the consolations of the gospel. He said, Barnsley, including the common, has only 15,000 inhabitants. Imagine what it would be if all these were to die in 12 months. Yet in China, year by year, hundreds are dying for every man, woman, and child in Barnsley. Poor, neglected China. Scarcely anyone cares about it. Now, we can read every ministry strategy book out there, and let me tell you, there are tons of them. But none of them will ever replace that internal concern for lost souls. That concern that will motivate us, or as Paul says, compel us to witness. That burden, as hard as it was for him to bear, and as hard as it is for you and I to bear, that is what every church needs more than anything else. The burden for the lost that only comes from being close enough to Jesus to where his mindset, his cares, his loves and concerns become our own. And so feeling that burden, it says in verse 36, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now, even though some have called Paul the greatest human evangelist the world has ever known, we see that he's very different from the modern 20th and 21st century stereotypical evangelist who travels from city to city to win converts, but then leaves those converts to either grow on their own or be discipled by others. No, Paul didn't believe in making converts. He believed in making disciples. Well, what's a disciple? Well, a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ who is rooted in and growing in faith and who is also becoming fruitful, leading others into faith in Jesus Christ and able to disciple them. So how do you make a disciple? Well, you take a new believer under your wing, you become a friend, a mentor to that person, and then you give of your time to help that person become established in their faith. Now, we'll come back to that theme because it's so important, but I want you to see how ingrained this concept was in the mind of Paul right from the outset, as he wants to return to all the places where he won converts in order to make sure that they're rooted and growing in Christ, because he wants them to be more than converts. He wants them to be true disciples. Now, Barnabas no doubt thought that this second missionary journey was a great idea, but it says in verse 37 and following, now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. In the actual language in the Greek, it carries a tone of being adamant. Barnabas is determined to take him. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Now, the reason that Mark had not gone with them was probably because after he had arrived with Paul and Barnabas to Perga in Pamphylia, and he got a glimpse into the interior of Asia Minor, and he saw all the paganism, all the danger that lay before them. I mean, he got scared. I know I would get scared. And so he decides to turn and go back to Jerusalem, and more specifically to his mother, who was a prominent member of the church there. Now, here in this passage, we get a glimpse into how Paul really felt about that. He sees John Mark as lacking courage and commitment, and so he doesn't want to take along John Mark. He sees Mark as more of a hindrance, more of a burden than an asset, and so he just refuses to take him. Now, Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, he wants to give his cousin Mark another chance. He wants to try to allow Mark to show courage where he had shown fear before, to kind of redeem himself. You know, that's so typical of Barnabas. In fact, years earlier, it was Barnabas who recognized Paul's calling, we see in Acts chapter 11. And remember that the other believers were afraid of Paul because of what he had done to the church. And so Barnabas took Paul to the apostles and insisted that he be given a chance to prove himself. And he's given that chance. But interestingly, here, Paul doesn't back down in his dispute with Barnabas. He's thoroughly convinced that Mark is not the right person to come along with them at this time. Now, we don't know all the reasons why, but Paul may have had in mind the immediate needs and demands of such a rigorous journey. Undoubtedly, Mark's earlier departure had placed increased demands on Paul and Barnabas, and he just didn't want to risk that again. And so sadly, I mean, think about it, immediately after the Jerusalem Council, where you had this amazing decision that came by the church uniting, then in the very next section, we have this really completely opposite situation where we encounter division. It says, "And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus," which, by the way, was Barnabas's home. "But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." Now, I don't know how you feel about this story. Who was right? Who was wrong? Scripture doesn't explicitly say, though the weight of the evidence seems to actually favor Paul. Because think about it, Paul, he was an apostle. Barnabas wasn't. And that alone is enough for Barnabas to have submitted to Paul's authority. But even if it wasn't, Barnabas probably should have recognized that it would be unwise, it would be difficult to take along someone that Paul didn't trust. And last but not least, it's important to note that it was Paul and Silas, not Barnabas and Mark, who are commended by the church in verse 40. Now, does that mean Paul was completely in the right? Not necessarily. Maybe he should have shown more mercy. We don't know enough about the circumstances involved to make a decision one way or the other. But what we do know is that although they apparently never again ministered together, because this is the last mention of Barnabas in the book of Acts, we know that Paul and Barnabas eventually reconciled their differences, because Paul later wrote approvingly of Barnabas's ministry in 1 Corinthians 9:6, and even John Mark, who was the cause of all the trouble, he later became one of Paul's valued co-laborers, which we see in Colossians 4, Philemon 24, 2 Timothy 4. And he also became a close associate of the apostle Peter and was actually privileged to write, think about it, one of the four gospels. And so Barnabas really did a remarkable job in helping to turn around the life and ministry of his young cousin, John Mark. But at this point, there's a very painful split. Yet even though it was painful, we see that God was able to use it for good. And that because of the split, there are now two missionary endeavors instead of just one. And you know what that shows us? Is that God can use even the rough patches to further expand his kingdom work. And you know, it's a comfort to me to see that the early church, I mean, they struggled with many of the things that you and I face today in our churches. And yet they're always able to push through their differences and find healing and reconciliation. And I wonder why. There may be a number of reasons. But here, I think it's because the mission mattered more than the differences. That weight of glory was heavier than any individual's own personal opinion regarding the way they think things ought to be done. And you know, the same is true today. The churches that are the strongest and the most unified are not the churches that are just the most like-minded or just choose to unite regardless of different points of view and just, I don't know, whitewash everything over. No, they're churches that, despite their differences, are living under that weight of glory, keeping Christ's Great Commission central. And so that is the challenge I want to leave you with today. Let us seek to live like Paul did under that weight of glory. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.